This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
And we're heading to South Bend, Indiana. Live.
I am.
And Eric McLean. Gonna be up there in the rain, cool, crisp. Great day for cross-country championship.
Yeah, more on that in a moment. Yeah. Pittsburgh is the headline story out of Week 8 in the ACC. The Panthers deliver a message, 27-17 on Clemson, Saturday afternoon at Heinz Field. Kenny Pickett gets another stage nationally and delivers 302 yards passing on 25 of 39 and two touchdowns. And, boy, I mean, Clemson surrenders, what, 464 yards to Pittsburgh? Ooh, Panthers do the deal.
And keep in mind, Pitt got off to a slow start.
Right.
And, you know, like, okay, cool. The game came to Pitt. And that's the thing that impressed me the most is that Clemson actually got off to a good start. Yep. And Pitt, given all the hoopla the fans were into, which I told you earlier, it was great to see Pittsburgh get behind their team and love on them. And Kenny Pickett was like, hey, no sweat. Let's just get to work.
Yep.
And they did. And eventually they just ate this defense alive, throwing the football. They ran it when they needed to in the fourth quarter to eat up clock and get first downs and win the game. For Pittsburgh, you checked every box known to man. Kenny Pickett, terrific. People buzzing about the Heisman. Pitt wins the game. It could be a signature win, if you will, for Pat Narduzzi since he's been there. Not that this is the greatest Clemson team, but hey, it's a big-time game. You knew it. Had to win at home. You were favored and did.
Right.
So you did everything you were supposed to do, and you now put yourself in a great spot to win the Coastal and get back to Charlotte to play for an ACC championship.
Boy, did they ever. And all the while also delivered another kind of tough defeat for Clemson Tigers. Uiagalelei only 128 passing yards. Will Shipley did return, but really the storyline for Clemson after the game becomes the Tigers continuing to try and find themselves at a point where you're two-thirds of the way through the campaign.
Wes, it is what it is. I mean, people keep talking about, well, we're close, we're going to switch. Hey, you know, you are what you are. And right now, Clemson is a 4-3 team that defensively is still really talented, even though they're really banged up.
Yep.
But those are no excuses. They've recruited so well. And offensively, they're a mess and have been consistently offensive, quite frankly. I gave you that stat earlier. Clemson and Arizona are the only teams in Power 5 that haven't sniffed 20 points in regulation, Arizona hadn't won a game in a year and a half.
And one of the positions that is coming under scrutiny now, at least from the head coach's perspective, is a quarterback. He was asked about Tyson Pumichon coming in to take snaps, Uiagalelei being lifted during the ball game, and then DJ came back. But Dabo says not just quarterback that they're checking on.
I think everything's under evaluation at this point. You know, at 4-3, where we are, I think everybody's got to show up learning every single day. And we've just got to take it one day at a time. And we'll go to practice and see who has the best practice. And we'll figure out who's going to run out there first at every position. And, again, do everything we can to try to find a way to win a game.
And he's right about that, because right now when you're 4-3, the chances of being in Charlotte to win your seventh consecutive ACC championship are about nil. And so now you look down the schedule, given the fact that, hey, if the offense is the offense, you know, who do you beat scoring 17 a game? You got Florida State coming into town, red hot. They won three in a row. We know about the friction between those two a year ago, a game in Tallahassee that was never played. The Noles are feeling good about life. They got a road trip to Louisville, which won't be easy. You saw the cards. They're playing good football. Wake Forest is still on the schedule, coming to Death Valley. You throw in UConn, who can't play dead in a cowboy movie, and then the rock and roll game with South Carolina, and they're having offensive issues. So if you're Clemson now, you got to basically take a step back, figure out what you're doing, and, hey, can you find any kind of offense for the stretch ride, and can you get bowl eligible?
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds.
Well, when it comes to Pitt, though, you got to like the Panthers' chances, 60.8% to win the ACC, according to your friends at FPI.
What does that mean?
They are an FPI favorite of 75% or more in the final regular season
games. What does that mean?
That means they got a good chance to win it, according to FPI.
They're ranked 17th in the country. Let me give you an FPI, free Packer information. I like their chances of winning every game. How about that? I'll give you 100% chance that, you know what, we think we can win every game. That shows you how stupid the FPI is. Those numbers mean nothing to me. I'm going to keep ragging it until somebody shows up representing FPI at ESPN. How about that? I know, I'll go on the island. I don't even understand these numbers. What does all this stuff mean?
Let's take a look at them. Miami, 80%
chance. Why isn't it 86%?
I don't know that.
Well, that's my point.
At Duke, 93. Carolina, 79. That's a Thursday night, five-day turnaround, you see. Virginia,
yeah, I'd rather
that,
be the,
that game right there, November 20th, kids. You can put a big old circle around that one.
Oh, there's some good ones.
Big
November
old
20th.
Circle around that one now.
You know, Wake Forest in Death Valley after NC State.
Oh, boy.
November 20th's got some juice.
Yeah, it does. November 27, close at Syracuse.
I'll give you another FPI.
You want to mess around with the orange right now? I wouldn't.
I'm going to give you another FPI. Okay, November 20th, there's a 100% chance I'm interested. Watch. There's an FPI. Free Packer information.
Oh, my goodness. So there you go. That's where we are, huh?
Don't come in here with that FPI. With
I'm just I blow giving you the information.
Off.
By the way.
Yeah, blowing it back to you.
This is a pretty strong number, by the way, in the world of FPI for favorites. At this juncture in the season, win championships.
Wasn't FPI the one that didn't even have Pitt listed in the middle of the summer? Wasn't it Carolina, Miami, Virginia Tech, right? I don't remember seeing a lot of Pitt FPI numbers.
It would be fun to go back to some August numbers.
They delete those immediately, don't they? Can't find those in the old dark building in the corner on campus, can you?
What have you said, though, that every once in a while it seems like some of our staff has some connections with the
I keep
FPI.
Telling you, I am convinced, I can't prove it, because I've been an employee at ESPN for 2.5 years. I have asked for anybody, I don't care if it's a secretary, I don't care who you are, who is FPI? Who works for them? And I'm convinced.
And are they in the same office as BPI?
I don't know who they are. Nobody seems to know. But I am convinced that some of the smart people on our show are
exactly.
tied into it, or at least who it is.
No. They're friends. They you know, grab a meal, grab and go at the commissary, as it were.
The executive stray cafe down there.
The executive stray cafe.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Free tomato sandwiches, egg and cheese.
Duke's mayonnaise on there would be good.
Well, it should if they're a sponsor.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a unique concept.
So anyway, Pittsburgh a heavy favorite. That's the way we're going to look at it. The other team that delivered a message, Miami. Canes.
They came to play, man.
We had lots of doubt. Quarterback told us to pay attention last week, and nobody would. Maybe some Canes fans did, but Miami rides Tyler Van Dyke to 4 scores, 325 yards, and a 1-point win.
He was really good.
Over the Wolfpack. He was excellent. Charleston
really good.
Rambo, I'm sorry you didn't make the list.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man.
But Jalen Knighton now, I know that Cameron Harris is out for the year. There's Will Mallory, who's had some struggles during the year. Kobe Brown's involved in the run game, but I'm going to be honest with you. Jalen Knighton brings a speed element to the table. It may change the way you have to look at Miami in the last third of the season.
I said to you last week, the first quarter is going to tell me everything I need to know. And Miami brought it, man. They were like, hey, you know what? We're embarrassed by being 2-4. Everybody buzzing about our coach and all this stuff. That's all noise. Let's go play. And they did. I thought they brought the fight to NC State, which is what I wanted to see. And as I mentioned, at halftime, NC State's got the lead. And you're shaking your head going, how is this possible? NC State's winning this game. They were. And it was a tremendous back-and-forth football game.
It also goes to show you, though, right, that in some ways, this thing is bananas, college football being this thing, because when things start getting stirred up away from the field like they have at Miami, I've seen that happen before, Pac, and teams react to it, right?
Well, you didn't know which way they were going to go.
That's what I'm
saying. I've also seen teams go, yeah, well, we stink. Our coach is bad. I ain't playing for this guy. I mean, I've seen that, too.
I have, too. But what we saw the other night is yet another one of why college football always delivers.
Let's fight for our guy.
Yeah.
We're playing for coach. Let's go.
Yeah. You had the 01 team there celebrating the 20-year anniversary of a national title.
You got a young
– all the Miami stuff.
I got a young quarterback barking, going, hey, listen, we saw these guys last year. We'll go beat these guys again. Well, yeah. You know, you can talk it. Can you walk it? The answer is yes, he can. And right. So do the Canes. It was a terrific win. And, you know, I mentioned to you last week, I was nervous when I saw NC State talking about the disrespect card. Hey, just go play your games. The reason you were ranked exactly where you should have been ranked. You lost to Mississippi State and were not competitive. You know, people know who you are.
Just keep winning.
Just keep winning. And when I heard all that last week, I was like, man, that is not where the energy should be for NC State.
Yeah.
Now you're out of the poll. Ta-da. That's how it works.
All right. Still work left to do, really, for both sides. So, all that is at the top of the list. Pitt's a big win. Miami gets back on the track.
Wake stays undefeated.
Yep.
Had 2 weeks to get ready for a tricky scheme. Gave up 1 trillion yards on the ground. No problem. Dave Clawson's guys get the W. Mm-hmm. Highest rank since 1947 for the Swiss.
There you go. Don't forget, we've got fall sports championships right here on ACC Network starting this Friday morning.
Oh, yes, sir.
The ACC Cross Country Championship starts with the ladies 6K at 10 a.m. That'll be followed by the men's 8K. And then first round soccer on Sunday from the Women's Soccer Championships in Cary. Oh, no. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't heard, Mark Packer involved in the cross country championships on Friday in South Bend. They'll be at the Burke Cross Country Course on the campus of the University of Notre Dame.
Know exactly where it is.
Do you? Been studying the map.
Chariot of Champions will be there.
Okay.
And I'm taking that bad boy for a spin.
Yeah.
Pull forehand. I'm going to zip around campus and just see how everybody's doing. Get you to class.
Eric McClain will be there with Mark on Friday.
That's right. Mac and I are flying up and flying back together.
Sure are. That's it. You betcha. All right.
Hey, American Airlines. Get ready for that.
There we go.
American Airlines.
So, yeah, make sure the plane gets weighted the right way. When we come back, we go to Tallahassee. By the way, those championships available on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. We should not hold this gentleman up. And he's been kind enough to spend some time with us this morning. You know why? Because if he gets really mad at us, he'll come through the screen and take us to the ground.
Yep.
Like he's done everybody else this year. Out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Jermaine Johnson joins Packer and Durham next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham is presented by the Eat Fresh Refresh at Subway.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, presented by Subway on this beautiful Monday morning. Dino Babers, head football coach at Syracuse, coming up here in about 15 minutes. But before we get to coach,
yes, sir,
a guy that has terrorized quarterbacks since he stepped foot in Tallahassee, Jermaine Johnson joins us down there at Florida State. Jermaine, first of all, good morning and congrats, man. You have really, really balled out. I know that you're thrilled with not only your individual effort, but also the fact this 3-game winning streak feels good, too.
No, it feels great. Feels great to finally get the ball rolling with us. Myself, as well as everybody else, knows, you know, the capability that we have and how far we can go. We just didn't start off how we wanted to, but we are getting the ball rolling right now, and we're just excited for this next game.
Jermaine, I want to talk a little bit about the year for Coach Fuller and the defense, because you're right there at the top of the tackle list, and I hope you take this the right way. Guys who sometimes lead their teams in sacks and tackles for loss are not normally near the top of the total tackle list. Tell me about the combination of your game. You impact the game in a lot of ways. People will see the sack numbers, but you're around the ball a lot.
Yeah, that's just kind of how I play the game. Kind of goes into how I practice. I just try to practice and be everywhere and exhaust myself at the end of the day. But I know, I mean, God bless me with some physical talents. But on top of that, I just know that effort is the determining factor in all of that. So as long as I give all my effort, I could pretty much help the team in any way that I can. So I'm just excited to be available for the team and give all I got for this program.
All right, I've cobbled together here a few numbers. 7 sacks this year, 9 tackles for loss, 45 total for Florida State. If you take your Georgia career, I've got you down for 27 games as a college player with 13.5 sacks. That's pretty good now. I mean, I like your averages and your ratios on getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, I pride myself on being a pass rusher. This defensive scheme lines up very good with me, and I line up very good with the defensive scheme. So like Coach Norvell was talking about when he was recruiting me, it's a win-win. This team needs me, and I need this team. So I'm just glad that I can help the team and the program in any way I can. And I couldn't do any of this without my brothers around me. It's complimentary football. If the other 10 guys don't do their job, I'm pretty sure I can't get to the quarterback.
Jermaine, that's where I was going to go with you. When you decided to transfer from Georgia, I'm sure you took a look in the landscape and said, all right, where do I fit the best? And given the fact that this Florida State team had a grand total of 10 sacks last year, that's it, 10. When you were taking inventory, did Florida State just pop off the page where you went, hey, that's the perfect home for me?
Yeah, well, I was deciding it is a critical decision. It had to happen like bang. Usually when you're getting recruited out of high school, in my case, junior college, you have some months to make a decision. I had probably a little under 2 weeks to make a decision on where I wanted to go. So I just kind of had to weigh all my options. And like I said, I was looking for the perfect fit. And in this case, the perfect fit was looking for me and Florida State and Coach Norvell and the staff. So I'm glad it's working out the way it can. And I'm glad in the role that they're really blessing me with it, and I hope I'm just living up to their expectations and giving all I can to the team and not
Jermaine,
letting them down.
They are very quick, and I say they, Coach Norvell, everybody kind of connected with the program, to talk about just your leadership. Obviously, we knew you had the capability of posting numbers once you hit the field, but why was it important for you to come in and sense that leadership role that maybe you needed to provide at Florida State too?
I just know that Coach Norvell told me what I was going to walk into. Obviously, he's a newer head coach, and as well as the rest of the members of the staff, a lot of challenges come with that, and that is getting a team to buy into you, amongst a lot of other things. But, I mean, player-led teams are the teams that win games. So, I mean, a coach can tell you to do things, but it's not going to mean anything if the players don't want to. So, not saying that was the case, but when you come in, and hopefully I can come in, and all that I was worried about was earning the respect of my teammates. I didn't walk in thinking I was going to be the big dog. I didn't do any of that. All I was worried about was coming in, busting my butt as hard as I can, and earning the respect of the guys in the room. So hopefully I did that, and they earned my respect as well, because, I mean, we've been working our butts off since January, changing the culture around here and holding each other accountable to the standard.
Jermaine, you mentioned the tough start, but as soon as this team won the game, right? It was the Syracuse game, a crazy game back and forth, and Jordan Travis makes an incredible play with his legs to get you in position to kick the field goal and win it. Seems like there's a totally different energy about this team. It was almost as if, all right, we can now breathe again. All right, forget about this woe is me, Florida State, people wearing bags on their heads, which was stupid. As soon as this team won, though, it's like, man, you guys look like a completely different unit. What's it like inside that locker room after that first win going on this 3-game winning streak?
I mean, to be honest, we were excited to finally get that first win, but we know we had opportunity to win other games, and we know that we have the capability to win games and not make it close. So, I mean, we're just working week in and week out to have the perfect game and have the perfect week. So we know, especially on the defensive side of the ball, on what we're capable of, and we know that some games don't have to be close. So we're just trying to be our best and live up to what we can do. And I know the offense is doing the same thing. Seems like every week the team as a whole is getting better. Each side of the ball and special teams seems like we're getting better and we're clicking more. So I'm just excited to apply that to Saturday and invite what's going to happen.
Well, the interesting part here too, there's a lot of different ingredients to this, right? A lot of different levels to this. We were talking during the break. You said it was important to process what happened Saturday against UMass, a game you should have won. You guys handled your business there. How important is that message as an older, successful player to younger guys and younger guys that are having an impact on this team now at this point in the season as opposed to maybe where they were earlier in the campaign, both mentally and literally in the depth chart?
Well, no, it's always good to be up that much in a game and let the younger guys or the guys lower on the depth chart get some reps. It builds confidence in the roster as a whole, and it builds confidence in the guys in case they do come in other games. So I think it's really important to get them some reps so they can earn their stripes, because I was definitely in that position before. But a game like that and an opportunity like that to get everybody on the roster some touches and some reps is as important as anything, because, I mean, nothing's as real as when the bullets start flying. So it was good to get everybody some reps.
You know, you're making your debut on the show, so here comes the traditional question. I know you transferred from Georgia to Florida State, but since you've been in Tallahassee, Jermaine, what has been your hardest class at Florida State?
I haven't had too many tough classes, to be honest. I couldn't tell you. I haven't really had tough class as tough since I've been here. But, I mean, I'm just keep the main thing the main thing. Main thing's academics and football. So as long as I'm investing in my studies as much as on-the-field stuff, I'll be just fine.
Well, if you tackle the books like you've been tackling quarterbacks, life is
That's
good.
That's it. Yeah, we need to throw that in there, right? There we go.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jermaine, thanks. Stay well. Good to see you. Appreciate your time today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Jermaine Johnson, the defensive end of the Florida State Seminoles, who's got 7 sacks, 9 for loss, 45 total, and part of a lengthy list of guys who could be contending for Defensive Player of the Year.
I don't know what quarterback Dabo's putting out there, but whoever it is, better keep an eye on 11.
Better find out where 11 is.
Yeah, 11's a problem.
Tell you what else you need to find out, too, and that's what's going on with the Orange, because Syracuse has turned it around. Dino Babers' team gets a late touchdown the other day to win in Blacksburg. Great win for a team that had come oh so close. And now you almost sense, right, threat in the second half, don't you think?
Hey, they had 3 straight 3-point losses.
That's it.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. And, yep, of course, he's going to jump on board. But, man, Saturday was a huge win for Syracuse.
You bet it was. And what has the coach learned through this journey in the 2021 season? Well, on the other side, Dino Babers joins us from Central New York. After the win in Blacksburg on Saturday, what's the next step in his mind for this Orange team that looks like it has a strong finishing kick? Back after this.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
And Durham on a Monday morning. Many thanks to Jermaine Johnson. Outstanding defensive effort from Florida State. Now, that dude is just causing all kinds of headaches for people.
You're just glad he didn't reach to the TV and take you to the ground.
No, he seemed like a pretty –
he's a nice kid.
He's got it together, man. He knows what he's doing.
You weren't there. You had the variant. He was at the kickoff.
I know. I saw it.
Visited with him for about 10 minutes. He was a great visit. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Mike Norvell's glad to have him.
Oh, tell me. All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Central New York, we ride. One of our favorites on this program is the head football coach of the Orange. Dino Babers joins us live. Welcome back, Coach. Always good to have you here. Congratulations on the win. Had them all the way, right?
Gentlemen, good morning. It's good to see both you guys up and at them, and I've been watching you guys when I get some spare time, and you guys are doing a heck of a job.
Well, forget about kissing up to the host. Let's talk about that fourth quarter. We talked about this game a bunch last week on the show. It just seemed like, hey, something had to give. Really, both sides. Virginia Tech trying to figure out a way to win at home. You guys, after 3 straight woulda, coulda, shouldas. Man alive, did your guys respond the fourth quarter. The pass Schrader threw for the game winner was right on the money. I mean, you've had some big wins, Coach, but that one really had to feel good, especially given the last couple of weeks.
You know, the math in the whole situation says that eventually we should come out on the other end. But when you're standing there and you keep rolling craps, and you never get a 4 and a 3 or a 6 and a 1 or a 5 and a 2, you know, you feel like everything's against you. But I like this team. I like this group. And I knew that if we just kept chopping wood, that it was going to work out. And I just feel like we're constantly getting better. Now, as coaches and everything else, we need to all lock in and not let this opportunity get away from us, because it could be a happy story ending, but we got to really focus on the next game out.
Okay, so there's so many different little layers to your season. Pac talked about the three games, each by 3 points, leading up to Saturday's win. I said earlier in the show, I want to go back to kind of when you had to have that conversation with Sterling Gilbert and some of your offensive staff about maybe changing the way you're playing. Now, there's no tempo. It may be the same offense, but it's not as accelerated as maybe you want it to be, or as you guys wanted it to be in previous years. How's that conversation and that decision now paying off with this particular team, Coach?
Well, I think it's paying off big. The one thing is that if you've been around long enough, you've done a lot of stuff. I've been, and other coaches on my staff have been in different types of offenses. And we talk about this all the times. It's not checkers, it's chess. You can keep beating your head on the door, but your head's going to hurt. And we felt like we had some pieces. We didn't have any proof, but we felt like we had some pieces. And that's why we really kind of went kind of slow with it. Can we do this? Can we not do this? And we needed to be able to look and see and get a feel of whether we were making the right decision or not. But, I think the proof is in the pudding. I think the right decision was made, and now we've got to see if we can run with this, literally.
Dino, speaking of running with it, that's where I want to go with you. Sean Tucker has been sensational. I mean, just great. And he can beat you so many different ways. At what point in time during this year, whether it be the fall or it's spring, or you tell me, did you get a sense that, hey, you know what, 34 has got a chance to be really, really special?
It had nothing to do with this year. It had everything to do with last year. You know, our offensive line was decimated. We had a fullback playing guard, and we were ready to be plucked, and we were being plucked constantly. And while we were taking those losses, I just kept saying that we're going to have to take it, but we're going to get better because of this. We're going to get better because of this. And to watch him run behind that line and watch the things that he did behind that line last year, and I'm like, if we can find a way to patch this thing up and get these guys healthy and get them back and keep them on the field, my gut, everything just told me that this guy is what I think he is. I've seen good ones. I've had first-round draft picks at running backs. Mm-hmm. So I know what they look like. And he has a lot of the things that those guys had.
It also coincides with, and I'm going to say, maturation of what Tony White was going to do defensively for you. When did you sense that was turning?
I really thought that the defense is a little bit more complicated than what people think it is. And when they got the spring and all that stuff to really sit down and tell the kids, this is why we do things. Kids are different. The kids are so different nowadays. The green and growing, red and rotten. Our coach told us to do something in the old days, we did it. Our mom and dad told us to do something in the old days, we did it. The person across the street told us to do something, we did it, or we would get in trouble, But the kids nowadays, they want to know the reason why. So I thought after that first year and the coaches could tell them why we do things, I thought they'd give even more effort. And, I think that's what you're seeing on the field this year is a bunch of guys that know the why. And that's the reason why they don't want to do the wrong thing, and for us to say, why not? Why did you do that? Because you know exactly what that's going to lead to. That's not what we wanted on that play.
Dino, Wes and I were kidding around today that when you look at the ACC standings, 10 of the 14 teams in the league have either 3 or 4 wins. And we're debating of those 10 teams, who is going to emerge from this glob, if you will, and go on a November run where all of a sudden – there's a big difference between being 8-4, 6-6, or worse. And your team seems like, hey, you got the win Saturday, but your effort in the 3 previous games, they could have all been wins with a play or a call here or there. What gives you the excitement in terms of, hey, guess what, boys and girls? We can run this bad boy out in November and sit there and have ourselves a really sweet bowl game at the end of the day.
4 daughters, no son, 2 son-in-laws. And I can still remember the very first time, you're having a kumbaya meeting with your families and all of a sudden your daughters are talking to dad and dad's thinking, wait a minute, you're not my wife, you're just my daughter. How are you talking to me like that? And I think that's kind of where this football team is at. We've gone through enough stuff that we can just have those type of conversations where we're looking at each other and, you know, they're not playing and we're not playing. And for the most part, I think we're absolutely on the same page and we want the exact same thing. So I don't know if that's going to matter at the end of the season, but I know it matters right now where our feet are in the present time. And I really believe that we're really focused on what we can do this week to make the family 5-4.
I have said, and I think I've told you this too, I didn't think there were any two programs impacted more by all the things that went on last year, COVID and protocols and everything else, more than your program with the changing coordinators and at Virginia Tech, where they had an early breakout and never seemed to get their numbers right the rest of the year. How much of last year has helped your team understand the journey of this year?
I think last year has helped not only the players but the coaches as well. That was revolutionizing type stuff. Mm-hmm. As far as, are you going to grow from what's being said and what's happening to these young people, or are you going to just turn your shoulder and not listen? And you know, I don't want to hear things. I want to listen to them. And they were saying things, and I was really listening. Now, that doesn't mean everything they were saying was right. But I did listen to everything they said, and I was able to sift through, this is important, and then maybe come back a little bit later and say, I know you said these things, but that really is not the most important thing in this issue.
How about how Garrett Schrader has really taken ownership at quarterback? I mean, early in the season, I know you were looking for somebody to take over that role, but, man, his effort against Virginia Tech, and really for the last month, has really been consistently good.
You know, we're really happy with Garrett. I mean, he's doing some things. I think this last game really was a breakout game for him. I mean, so many people were, quote-unquote, can he throw the ball? And I'm like, he throws the ball good in practice. I don't know, maybe he's starstruck a little bit. I say he looks better in practice than he has in a couple of games. But it was good to see him get a throwing performance out there that was worthy, that where people will look at him more as a doggone quarterback than a running back. I think he has the ability to do both, and I think that his ability to do both has really helped everybody else on that offense to up their game.
Dino, can you speak to the athleticism of your strength and conditioning coach, though, who takes that chest bump and then does a back somersault when he hits the ground?
You know, I'm really disappointed in that, and I'm going to have a meeting with him later. You know, I had the same situation happen to me, and I think it was Dungy. And Dungy's coming back for homecoming, so I think I can tell this story. I think it was Dungy, and I did the same thing. And I really think that when Dungy jumped up in the air, his purpose was to knock me down. It was to knock me down, just like the strength coach. And once I went up, I'm like, oh, my God, I don't have a base, and I think this dude's going to knock me down. And sure enough, Dungy tried to put me on my back, and I planted the landing like I was a gymnast, a 10-pointer. I planted that doggone landing. Now, I might have torn ACL, I might have lost some cartilage, but I was not going to go down in front of everybody, and I did not. Now, I'm not going to tell you about the medical bills later, but I wasn't going to let Dungy do that to me. I've got to talk to the strength coach. He's got to have a lot more pride than that.
Well, here's the thing, though. The good news is you can get by with that with a W. Had that been an L, that does not fly under any circumstance. You got to get the W. You got to get the W.
You got to get the W. There's no doubt about it.
All right. So here's Boston College Saturday afternoon. Like you, a little bit of a different team. They lose their quarterback in week two. So they have to change kind of their philosophy a little bit. They go from slinging it to running it a lot. But yet I get the impression we're going to see old fashioned Northeastern football a little bit on Saturday. Feels like it could be a bit of time in the grinder for both.
Now, I'm sure they're watching this interview and they're waiting for the response out of my, you know, right now.
Yeah.
And my response is, we need to do the things that we need to do to win the football game.
I know. You're right. But it's a good game, right? I mean, you cannot tell me that every week is not like an independent challenge with the way this league is this year. It's crazy how competitive this thing's gotten.
It's really the fourth quarter games this year may be playing over and over in the ACC archives for years to come. Just the competitiveness, the ability of balancing things out because of COVID seniors, COVID juniors, also the attrition. that's coming through people entering the transfer portal and leaving the teams and looking for better opportunities are just affecting so many people's depth charts and special teams and changing the strategies of games. And there is a lot of chess going on out there this year, more so than ever, before somebody can just say, hey, we got this guy, this guy, and this guy, and we can keep doing this because if one guy goes down, the next guy can go in. Not so fast this year. Depth matters, and the coaches are taking notice of it, and they've been attacking people in those depth issues.
Dino, you saw Wake Forest, and it was a thrilling game at the Dome. One that, again, woulda, coulda, shoulda. The Deacs have really just caused a headache for everybody. For folks around the country that will see Wake Forest ranked 13th and go, oh, Wake Forest, yeah, that's great, cool story. What is it about this club? I mean, you've seen them. You pushed them to the absolute brink. But what is it about Wake Forest that should have everybody concerned, not only moving forward in the league, but also from a national perspective?
You know, normally I won't talk about somebody else's team, but I have history with Dave, and this is not going to be a negative. It's going to be a positive. I hope he doesn't get mad. What I see in him is an offense that's so efficient that you're going to have to score a lot of points to beat him. And it reminds me of some offenses I used to know where, you know, we're going to take the ball and it doesn't matter and we'll go for it here, because the bottom line is our offense is better than your defense. And you saw it last week with Army, who's got a fantastic, a fantastic offensive scheme, yet it just didn't matter because they're going to score almost every single time they get the ball unless they make a mistake. And when you get a team that's playing like that, that's where they're that efficient with their quarterback and their scheme, you watch this, you're going to have to do something totally different that no one else has ever done, which means, yeah, you could beat them, but you could also give up 140.
Yeah.
Hey, how's the vinyl collection going?
I'll tell you what, it's going good, but I haven't had time to put the turntable on very often. There hasn't been a bunch of workouts, and I haven't been in the weight room. Mm-hmm. I've been every weighing moment, every moment of the day is about ball right now, yeah, and I'm totally locked in.
I hear you. Yeah, hey, Packer, by the way, went to see the Rolling Stones live about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous now. That's big time. That's big time.
It's called the No Filter Tour. I figure it was right down my alley.
Hey, we appreciate the time. Congratulations on the win in Blacksburg. Good luck Saturday against Boston College. Been fun to watch you guys take this journey this year.
Hey, you guys. I'll tell you what. You guys are doing a heck of a job. Keep it going. Mark West, love you guys.
All right.
Go Orange.
See you soon.
Good luck, Coach.
Babers, you bet. Thank you, partner. Head coach of the Orange, and always fun to visit with us.
Happy to see him have a bounce back here. We talked about, hey, when you're coming off a one-win season, there's all kinds of pressure.
Yeah.
And really, Cuse at 4-4. I mean, what really could have, those three straight weeks, could have won every single one of those games. But still, life is good. Great win, though, Saturday at Blacksburg.
Oh,
tremendous W.
Yeah, and a group, and they're not exclusive to this club. A group that had been near misses.
Yeah.
You mentioned.
Even Rutgers early.
Oh. And
0-0 at the half.
Some of it out of control, some of it in their control, all those things. All happens that way. Any team, regardless whether it's your team or the team you don't like, you want to see some degree of validation for the work, right?
Right.
And the effort and the improvement. That only happens one way, and that's by winning games. You know, so much for the participation ribbon and the old slap on the shoulder, right?
It's about, you got to win games. That's exactly right. And when you look at that schedule, they will have something to say with who gets to Charlotte.
Oh, right? Tell the truth.
NC State.
Tell the truth.
They're going to have a chance to stick their nose in somebody's business and ruin a party, necessarily. And they're playing good football.
BC, Louisville, NC State, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, those are all legit, so... Be careful.
The road to Charlotte runs through Central New York and the Voice of Victory.
They are going to have something to say about it. There's no question about it.
Voice of Victory taking copious notes during the interview.
They should be.
Yeah. When we come back, final segment, I mean a legendary coach got a legendary win over the weekend. And I'm going to tell you, there are moments in college athletics you just don't get in other sports. And we're going to show you that too when we wrap up. Packer and Durham. Anson can still dodge the old Gatorade. Next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, presented by the good folks at Subway, Chester, Fuller, Robert, Otto, Wes, Pack, and everybody up. Smart people in Bristol.
Fuller heard his name and thought it was time to go.
No, not yet.
Closing in on 10.
Not yet. We're getting there, though.
Thanks to Dino Babers, Jermaine Johnson, for being here today. Fantastic, both. Appreciate it, as always. Wide receiver U will be up later on Twitter at ACC Network. Dontavian Wicks, Damian Alford, Brandon Sebastian, Servassier Dennis.
When he made that play Saturday, I was like, man, there's our guy, Packer and Durham bump, just like that.
That's right.
Jordan Travis comes on the show. What's he do? Goes crazy.
There you go. Anson Dorrance this weekend got number 900 in his career.
Ooh, that's a bunch.
2-1 win against Notre Dame. 900.
Had a chance to do it against Florida State. Of course, that game ended in a tie.
Yeah.
No problem. This weekend, Notre Dame, you're the one. Yep. Number 900. That's
my
impressive.
Goodness. Maybe the most incredible piece of this whole stat, still dodging Gatorades too, by the way, is that
it's a weak effort by the women's soccer program with the Gatorade. I got to tell you, that was guys won 900, and he still got quicker feet. Come on now, you got to get him with that.
He also has 330 more wins than the guy in second place.
No, it's stupid how good it is.
Yeah,
so of course, you had him ranked number one.
To me,
of any coach in any sport in this league of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That was your number one.
Yep. Amazing coach. Amazing coach. Amazing job with the program.
And he's always interesting to talk to. He's been on with us before. Yep. And, I mean, you can get into all kinds of topics and very worldly in his approach.
All right. So, congratulations to Anson Dorrance on win number 900 with Carolina women's soccer. All right. NC State won the ACC championship in women's basketball last year.
Again.
Yep. Wes Moore was talking about it with us a couple of weeks ago at the tip-off. Well, over the weekend, a heartwarming moment. Miss Carla drives the NC State women's basketball team bus. And here's what happened.
Miss Carla, we got something special for you. So I just want to say, first of all, just thank you for being a part of this program, for your like hugs and motivation. Just for being loyal to this program for so many years. I know we mean a lot to you, but you mean a lot more to us than you could ever know. So without further ado, we just got you a little basketball.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I noticed you don't have any rings on your fingers.
Cool. Love it.
People don't realize in college sports and really in like minor league baseball, things like that, college sports, typically smaller scale teams, basketball, baseball, teams like that, have typically the same driver for most of their trips, right? To the airport, to short trips, you know, on buses, things like that. Those people become an extended part of the program. That's a class move by Wes Moore and his team to do that.
And Ms. Carla, I don't know you. But stick to that truck, right? Because I got the Chariot of Champions. I mean, it's not one of those stepping stone things. You take care of Wes Moore and NC State women's back-to-back ACC champs. I'll take care of the cross country Friday.
Congratulations, cool story, Ms. Carla. Nice job by Wes Moore and his girls.
Touch class.
With NC State. Another big show in the books. 487 I got here on the list.
Oh, that'd be accurate.
We're closing in on 500, big fella.
November, we hit 500.
Yeah.
Suit and tie again.
Big weekend ACC football ahead. Thanks again to Jermaine Johnson of Florida State and Dino Babers as well for being a part of the program.
And Our man, Sam Parker.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. The Dodgers are dead, but you got a hat out of the deal. So it all works out.
For Mark Packer, Wes Durham, thanks to Drew Brooks, Josh Macri. Megatron directed this fine program today. Way to go, Meg. See you guys tomorrow morning at 7.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.